Before we read our passage this evening, let's again seek God in prayer and ask him to be with us during this time of worship as we hear his word proclaimed. Lord, we ask once again that your Holy Spirit would be given to us, that each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, would profit from the hearing of your word. We pray that you would make the Lord Jesus Christ to be known, and not just known intellectually, but known experientially in our hearts and souls. We pray that we would know real communion with you, the living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we come in Christ's name, asking for the forgiveness of all of our sins afresh in the blood of Jesus Christ, and asking in his name for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Amen. In Mark chapter 1, I would like to read just three verses, beginning at verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. And there comes to Jesus a leper, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If you will, you can make me clean. And being moved with compassion, he stretched forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be made clean. And straightway, or immediately, the leprosy departed from him, and he was made clean. So those are our verses for this evening, for this message. I'd like you to learn three main points from this message. First of all, we will learn about the leper. Secondly, we will learn about the Lord himself. And thirdly, we will learn about what I'm calling the liberation. So the leper, the Lord, the liberation. So first of all, let's consider the leper in this passage. And notice, first of all, his condition before the Lord. This unnamed man, we're told, was a leper. And in the Old Testament, leprosy referred to a variety of infectious skin diseases, both serious and superficial. Leprosy also referred to mold and mildew on clothing and walls. The word leprosy and its related terms occurs 55 times in the Old Testament and 13 times in the New Testament. We now know today from modern science, we now know that the leprosy which affects people is caused by a bacterium which attacks the nervous system of the body. Symptoms are first manifested in the skin and then in the peripheral nervous system and then spread to other parts of the body, such as the hands, the feet, indeed, the face. People with leprosy experience disfigurement of the skin, the bones, and the face, a collapsing of the nose structure, a twisting of the limbs, a curling of the fingers to form what is called a characteristic claw hand, and tumor-like growths called lepromas may form on the skin and in the respiratory tract, and the optic nerves there in the eyes may deteriorate, leading to a loss of sight. As the nerves in the body are damaged, a loss of pain sensation occurs throughout the body, and further deformities develop as a result of this extensive nerve damage and the inability to sense pain. The damaged flesh of the leper leads to infections which are not normally felt or sensed, and they're not healed. And consequently, the flesh of the leper decays, it putrefies, it smells badly. Leprosy itself does not kill an individual, and for that we can be very thankful to God. But as it progresses, The leper often despairs as one whose body continues to degenerate and deform over the course of even years. Abhorred and shunned by people in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps even to this very day where there is such leprosy, but abhorred and shunned by people, including loved ones, family members, friends, the leper merely exists as one who is like the walking dead. Leprosy is spread by multiple skin contacts, as well as by droplets from the upper respiratory tracts, such as nasal secretions, transmitted from person to person. And so as a result of this, lepers were physically isolated from everyone in order to prevent its spread. In Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 45 and 46, we have clear directions given to us by God concerning lepers, regarding where they were to live, how they were to announce their approach to anyone who was not a leper. So I'll read that passage to you, Leviticus 13, beginning at verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and the hair of his head shall go loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, and shall cry, "Unclean, unclean." All the days wherein the plague is in him, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his dwelling be. Those are the words of God in Leviticus 13. The disease of leprosy thus made any individual there in Israel a social outcast, a religious outcast as well, preventing participation in any family worship, preventing participation in any synagogue worship, preventing participation in any temple worship in Jerusalem. The leper was also excluded from participation, obviously, in any of the Jewish feasts, such as even the Passover. So in summary, every aspect of the leper's life, if you could call it a life, his spiritual life, his intellectual life, his emotional life, his social life, his physical life, every aspect of his life was negatively and pervasively impacted by this dread disease of leprosy. So that's the condition before the Lord of this leper. But now let's consider, secondly, the leper's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in verse 40 of your Bibles, if you look there. The leper's coming to the Lord. Notwithstanding the realities of his walking death, which could be immediately seen by all, as well as the requirements of Leviticus 13, this unnamed specific leper sought the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not told in the Bible how he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, but in Mark's gospel, Mark makes it very plain that reports about Jesus and his power to heal quickly spread throughout Palestine. So he probably heard some report about the Lord Jesus. So notice with me in verse 40, the leper comes beseeching the Lord Jesus. That's the word in the English Bible. The leper comes beseeching the Lord. We're not told whether he came yelling out, "Unclean, unclean," as he approached the Lord. He probably did. But we are told that he came to the Lord begging for mercy, because that's what the word in the original Greek language means. He was begging. He was imploring. This was not a casual request of someone coming up and asking for directions. How do I find my way to Tunnelly Avenue in North Bergen? It wasn't a disinterested inquiry about the state of the weather. Do you think we're going to have snow tonight or not? No. This was a beseeching, a begging with earnestness for help. But notice, not only does he beg for help, notice, secondly, the leper comes kneeling before the Lord Jesus. He didn't come strolling up to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, look, you know, I need some help. Can you help me? He didn't do that. He didn't come up to him eye to eye, nose to nose, and just address him directly and say, I'm a leper. You can help me. I want some help. No, he didn't do that either. Once in the presence of the Lord, or perhaps even some distance from the Lord, the leper fell down upon his knees, and kneeling down to Jesus Christ, he began to beg the Lord for help. You see, the leper understood that the posture of his body in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a matter of insignificance. It was not a matter of indifference. Whatever the leper's present understanding was about who the Lord Jesus Christ truly was, he clearly understood enough to know that he should be humbled before this unusual individual in every respect. You see, the leper had nothing, nothing to give the Lord. The leper had nothing of which to boast. Nothing. He came as a very needy and a totally helpless and a very severe beggar. That's how he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, with humility kneeling. But notice, thirdly, in his coming to the Lord, notice his speaking to the Lord. But now surely, because of his physical appearance as a leper, did the leper really need to speak to the Lord and tell him what his need was? I mean, couldn't it be seen by the Lord Jesus what his need was? Wasn't it as plain as the noonday sun that he was a leper by all of his appearance? That's all true. But nevertheless, the leper communicates. He talks. He lays out his desire to the Lord Jesus Christ with very few, very direct, and very plain words. Note that the leper actually did not explicitly make a request of the Lord Jesus. He didn't actually ask him for something. He simply stated a fact. He stated a fact that he believed that the Lord was able to cleanse him of his leprosy. In the original language, he literally stated, "You are able me to cleanse." You are able me to cleanse. You see, he didn't ask. He stated a fact. There was no doubt, you see, in the mind of the leper that the Lord Jesus Christ could cleanse him thoroughly. You are able me to cleanse. But it's also worth noting that immediately before stating his confidence in the Lord's ability to cleanse him, the leper stated, "If you will, if you will." With this simple statement, did the leper question the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse him? He believed Jesus was able, but when he said, "If you will," was he questioning the Lord's willingness to cleanse him of his leprosy? Or was this an acknowledgement by the leper that the Lord Jesus Christ was not under any obligation to cleanse him. The Lord Jesus, the sovereign, could do as he pleased. If the Lord chose not to cleanse him of his leprosy, that leper would have had no justifiable complaint, for such cleansing and deliverance was not owed to him. Perhaps this leper remembered from the scriptures, because he was a Jew, perhaps he remembered from the scriptures the situation in the days of Elisha the prophet, which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to in his public ministry on occasion. Because we read Jesus' words, actually, from Luke chapter 4, referring to Elisha, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, "There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." I mean, maybe this leper knew that reality from the scriptures. Maybe he already had heard Jesus even say such words previously, somehow. It is possible that this leper sincerely believed that the Lord was fully willing to cleanse him of his leprosy, but he also understood that the Lord did not owe him any mercy, but actually only owed him judgment and wrath because of the sins of the leper. And so he stated, "If you will, you are able me to cleanse." So that's the leper in our passage. But now let's consider the Lord himself in our passage. Look at verse 41. Verse 41. Notice with me, first of all, concerning the Lord, his disposition toward the leper. Verse 41. The Lord's disposition toward the leper. We're told, "And being moved with compassion." You see, in the original Greek language, again, the meaning is that Jesus yearned in his bowels. He yearned with sympathy and with pity and with compassion upon this leprous man. This man in his tragic condition, this man in his desperate need, this man with his simple, very artless words actually stirred the holy emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ in the deepest recesses of his being. This was, before the Lord Jesus Christ, a truly gut-wrenching situation. It stirred his mind. It stirred his soul. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was not some cold, hard-hearted, aloof person of fame. He didn't just stand there looking down his nose at this leper with a reserve, a detachment, with coldness. No, he was moved in his heart and soul and being with a holy emotion for this leper. But notice in verse 41, secondly, not only his disposition toward the leper, but secondly, his actions upon the leper. Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus stretched out his hand and touched this leper. And in the original language, again, the touch was not like this, some sort of like quick touch, like a touch that hits a hot stove. You draw back quickly. No, it wasn't a light touch. The meaning of the original here is that the Lord stretched forth his hand with purpose, and he literally attached his hand to the leper, perhaps laying his hand upon the top of the leper's head as he knelt before the Lord Jesus Christ. So it wasn't just a light touch. He laid his hand deliberately right on top of his head. And this was, of course, something that no one dared to do or wanted to do. For to do that immediately would make any Jew ceremonially unclean and would remove that one from the privileges of worship and society for a time. And in addition, such a touch could indeed transfer this dreaded disease of leprosy to the one touching. But you see here the marvel of it. The Lord Jesus Christ was not thinking about himself. He was thinking about the leper. He was not, you see, he was not thinking about his life. He was thinking about this leper's life. He was not there, the Lord Jesus, to serve himself. He was there to give himself in service to this needy, helpless leper. And by miraculously cleansing the leper, the Lord was declaring to the world, to all those who were present on that occasion, that he was indeed the promised Messiah who fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah, even as Jesus stated on another occasion. We read of it in Matthew chapter 11, and Jesus answered and said unto the disciples of John the Baptist, go and tell John the Baptist, go and tell John the things which you hear and the things which you see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. You see, by cleansing this leper on this occasion, Jesus Christ was saying and showing to that leper and to everyone else who was there watching, that he indeed was the promised Messiah. He was willing to be identified with helpless, needy sinners like this leper. He was not discouraged or turned away by the filth of this needy, helpless leper. He was the one who could and would take away not only the diseases, but also the iniquities of any who would come to him in faith. So we see his actions upon this leper. But notice from verse 41, thirdly, the Lord's words to this leper. The Lord's words to this leper. The Lord Jesus now spoke as succinctly to the leper as the leper had to him. With divine authority, the Lord announced, I will be made clean. Simple words, brief words, direct words. I will be made clean. So with his words, the Lord Jesus removed any and all doubt, any and all concerns, any and all fears that were in the mind and heart of this poor leper. With his words, the Lord Jesus proclaimed the reality of his sovereign grace, his sovereign power, which he freely poured out upon this undeserving man. His words were very simple, but very, very profound. And we here this night need to see the Lord Jesus Christ as these words in Scripture reveal him. We need to remove from our mind false thoughts, false ideas about who Jesus Christ is. We need to see him in this very portrait in Mark chapter 1. As a gracious, sovereign, almighty, willing Savior of sinners. And that leads us to, thirdly, the liberation. We've seen the leper, the Lord, and now thirdly, the liberation. Notice in verse 42 of this chapter, the liberation was immediate. Verse 42. And straightway, in my English Bible, straightway the leprosy departed from him. The leper did not wait 1 millisecond for healing. He didn't wait 1 millisecond for deliverance from leprosy. He didn't wait 1 millisecond for transformation of his body. The Almighty Creator and Redeemer spoke, and liberation from leprosy and all of its effects and consequences was instantaneous, immediate. Notice, secondly, from verse 42, it was not only immediate, it was complete. It was complete. His liberation from leprosy was complete. Mark tells us very simply, almost as though it was an afterthought on his part. Mark tells us, oh, and he was made clean. It's almost like it was an afterthought. Oh, and he was made clean. No doubt the leper's clothing still needed to be changed. There's no doubt about that. He would have still had on the same dirty, leprous clothing. But if you on that occasion had examined his body from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, you would not have found any more one deformity, no tumors anywhere on his skin. You would have not found one lesion, no discoloration of his flesh. You would have not smelt any decaying flesh on his body at all. Instead, kneeling before the Lord Jesus Christ was a transformed man with skin, face, limbs, hands, eyes, coloring, and hair as healthy as a man who had never contracted any sickness or disease at any time throughout his entire life. J.C. Ryle, the English commentator, speaking about this very verse, this section, he wrote this: "The morning sun rose upon this leper, a miserable being, more dead than alive. His whole frame, a mass of sores and corruptions, his very existence a burden. The evening sun," J.C. Ryle continues, "the evening sun of the same day saw this man now full of hope, full of joy, free from pain, and fit for the society of his fellow men. Surely the change must have been like life from the dead." And indeed, this transformation of this leprous man by Jesus Christ is meant to make us see that this is what Jesus Christ does for sinners. He changes them. He transforms them. So, brethren, we have seen here in this passage the leper, the Lord, the liberation. But now I would like to give you some lessons. The first lesson is this from this passage. In the Bible, leprosy is a sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. In the Bible, leprosy is a sobering and compelling picture of the ravages of sin. Like leprosy, sin manifests itself initially in relatively small ways, but then it spreads, leading to other sins. Now, by saying that, of course, I understand that we are conceived in sin. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. We are totally depraved, conception onward, till the Lord saves us. I understand that. But what I'm saying is leprosy is a picture of the ravages of sin. And as leprosy initially shows itself in a small way, but then spreads, leading to more leprosy, so sin is that way. Have you ever looked at a four-year-old, an unconverted four-year-old, and compared that unconverted four-year-old with an unconverted 75-year-old? The four-year-old seems relatively innocent. He's not innocent, he's a sinner. But you see, though unconverted, he hasn't lived 70-some years in sin, becoming a very sad, sad old man, still unconverted, and the effects of sin are seen everywhere in his life. That's what I'm saying. Leprosy is a picture of how sin works. And like leprosy, sin is ugly. Sin is loathsome. Sin is incurable apart from Christ. Sin is contaminating. And brethren, you need to have that biblical sight of the reality of sin, not just around you, but sin with regards to your own life. Whether you're a Christian or not, if you're a Christian, you have remaining sin. If you're not a Christian, you're a slave to sin. But in either case, we need to see that like leprosy, sin is ugly. It may present itself as something appealing and attractive. Sometimes even it may seem to be beautiful. But the truth is, sin is hideously ugly. It is always ugly. It is loathsome. We need to see it that way. It is like leprosy. Like leprosy, sin causes great damage in our lives. It disrupts sin, like leprosy, disrupts our relationship with others. It separates and isolates us, like leprosy, from others. And ultimately, sin separates and isolates us from God. According to Leviticus 13, we didn't read this, the garments which clothed a leper were only fit to be burned in fire. You would never hand them down to somebody else. And those who die clothed in their sins and not in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be burned in an unquenchable fire forever. And yet, there are differences between lepers and lost sinners. I've said leprosy is a sobering, compelling picture of the ravages of sin. I've given you a few examples. But now what I'm saying is there are differences between lepers and lost sinners. All lepers long to be rid of their leprosy. Their leprosy is a grief and a burden. If you go to Mr. Leper here and you say to him, "Do you want to be rid of your leprosy?" He will say without hesitation, "Yes, the sooner the better." You go to a second leper, "Do you want to be rid of your leprosy? Is it a burden to you?" "It is a burden I cannot even describe," he will tell you. "I want to be rid of my leprosy." But when you speak to lost sinners, who are in love with themselves, and you ask them, "Mr. Sinner, do you want to be rid of your sins?" He will look at you as though you are absolutely from the planet Mars. "What are you talking about, my sins?" "Well, how about your sin of fornication?" "It's not a problem. I enjoy it." "What about your sin of using illegal drugs?" That person may say, "Well, I could wish I'm done with it," but they admit they enjoy it. "What about your sin of gossip?" To the unconverted, gossip, They don't see anything wrong with it, you see. Unlike the lepers, lost sinners earnestly cling to their filthy sins. Their sins are not a problem, not a burden. All lepers do not want to die as lepers. They want to be delivered from their leprosy before they die. But lost sinners, they do not care if they die as sinners because they do not think their sins are a problem at all. You see, these differences simply underscore that although leprosy is a vivid and graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin, it still falls far short of the reality of the evil of sin. Leprosy cannot show us clearly enough the true nature and evil of sin. But we need, by God's grace and the work of His Spirit, with the Word of God and the law of God, the Ten Commandments, to see our sins, to see how ugly they are in the sight of God. But a second lesson is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, we see from this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious and almighty Savior of sinners. In the instantaneous healing of this leper, we must understand, you must understand, children here, older folks here, Christians here, unconverted lost sinners that might be here or watching, we must all understand that nothing is too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. There is no sin that is impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive and cleanse and deliver from. It doesn't matter how long the sinner has been indulging that particular sin. It doesn't matter what that sin is. It may be a so-called polite, respectable sin. They're not really that, of course, but people call them that. Or it may be some gross outward sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. Nothing we see from the healing of this leper, nothing is too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. In the instantaneous healing of this leper, we must also see that the Lord Jesus delights to be gracious to helpless, hopeless, undeserving sinners. That's what this leper was. He was helpless. He was hopeless. He was undeserving. He was a sinner. But the Lord delighted in showing mercy to him. The Lord Jesus is able to deliver from every sin, every sin, which is a far greater problem than leprosy or cancer or COVID. No sin is so deeply rooted in your heart and life that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot deliver you from it, pardon you of it, cleanse you in His blood, and truly transform you. The worst of sinful spiritual lepers can be cleansed and forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ alone. Faith in the living Lord Jesus Christ, for He's not dead. He's alive forevermore. So the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn from this passage, is a gracious and almighty Savior of sinners. But a third lesson is this. You, personally, individually, every one of you, you must follow the leper's example. Like this leper in Mark chapter 1, You must see yourself, the truth about yourself, spiritually. If this leper in Mark chapter 1 refused to embrace the reality that he was a leper, he would have never gone to Jesus Christ for cleansing and healing. You must face the truth about yourself. I spoke to one elderly woman, more than once, of course, but I'm thinking of one specific instance. I spoke to this elderly woman many times, and on this occasion, she was in her 80s. She was not a Christian. She was near to death. And I spoke to her about the gospel again many times. And on this occasion, I said to her, "Do you see? You are a sinner. You have broken God's laws." And I gave her an example because I knew her very well. And she looked at me and honestly said, "I'm not a sinner. I've done many good things in my life." Now, I knew that was not true, because that was my mother. My mother denying the truth that she was a sinner. You must face the truth that you are a sinner. And you cannot save yourself. But Jesus Christ can save you, forgive you, cleanse you, change you. But like this leper, you have to face the truth and accept it and not reject it. You see, this leper did not boast about what a wonderful human being he was. He didn't boast about, "Well, look at what I've done in my life." No, he embraced the humbling truth about his wretched and helpless condition. You must do the same. But furthermore, you must go directly to Jesus Christ just as you are, in all of your filthy sins and stench, your spiritual stench, your filthy sins. You must go directly to Jesus Christ. What did this leper do? What did he not do? When he heard about Jesus Christ, when he heard that he was someone who could cleanse lepers, when he heard that he had power to transform people's lives, whatever reports that he had heard, what did he do? He didn't go down to a nearby river and first wash himself up with soap to try to make himself look better. He didn't then go to Kohl's, the nearby Kohl's there in Israel, to buy new clothing to put on. He didn't then go to the cologne department in Kohl's to buy cologne and spray it all over himself so that he would not smell so bad. He didn't do any of that. He went straight to Jesus Christ as he was. And this is what you should do as a sinner. And dear Christian, this is what you must do also, even as a Christian. When you sin as a Christian, you will be tempted to think, "Well, first I have to feel very sorry." Well, you should feel sorry for your sins, of course. You should feel repentant. You should be repentant. But there's that tendency to say, "Well, I can't go to Jesus Christ. I mean, look, I've confessed this same sin repeatedly to Jesus. How can I go to him again?" No, you go straight to Jesus Christ from your sin, with your guilt. You go straight to Jesus Christ and you ask him for forgiveness for the sins which you have just committed again. You don't wait. You don't try to clean yourself up. You do what this leper did. You go straight to Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, that sounds too good to be true." That's the gospel. It is too good to be true, but it is true. You're not supposed to clean yourself up. You go to him for cleansing. You go confessing your sins. You go turning away from your sins. You go to him for forgiveness. You go to him for salvation. That is what you are to do. This leper came to Jesus Christ in all of his dirtiness, in all of his stench, in all of his ugliness, and all of his deformities and all of his helplessness, hopelessness, he went straight to Jesus Christ to receive instantaneous, complete cleansing, forgiveness, and deliverance from his leprosy. You must do the same. And if you're here and you are not a true Christian as the Bible defines what a Christian is, that is what you are to do. Right now, you cry out to Jesus Christ from your heart and you say, Lord Jesus, I don't see you, but you see me. I don't hear you with my ears, but I hear you in your word, the Bible. I hear you through this preacher tonight, and I come to you and ask, forgive me for my sins, my lying, my immoralities, my murder, my gossip, my slander, my disobedience to my parents, my insubmission to my husband, my harshness to my wife. Whatever your sins are, you go straight to Jesus Christ to receive forgiveness and cleansing. He is the same today as he was in the day of this leper. Do what the leper did. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you and ask that you would forgive us for the times when we, your people, have had wrong thoughts of you, narrow thoughts, hard thoughts, unbelieving thoughts. Lord, forgive us for these sins. Cleanse us in your blood. And Lord, we cry out to you and ask that you would make all of your people to be those who always come straight to you for forgiveness and cleansing, for sanctification, transformation, for deliverance from sin. And Lord, come and draw sinners who are still lost in their sins to you. Do so, Lord, even by your Spirit with your word this night. Bring and draw needy, helpless sinners to you. We cry out unto you and ask that you would give grace, that you would save sinners. Receive our prayers, answer our prayers. We thank you for this time together. We pray to you, the living God. We ask for these mercies in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.